Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 and 4, said, I thank God always on your behalf. And truly, I would like to convey this message to you in the name of the Lord as we come today to preach to you about the coming of Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God that is given you in Jesus Christ. This I'm saying to the church here at Brush Creek, as well as the Apostle Paul said to those people long ago. Yes, I do, certainly, and most assuredly thank God for the grace of God that is given you in Jesus Christ. And he said that in him you have all utterance and all knowledge, being enriched in him in these things. He said, for this purpose, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the name of the Lord this morning, I ask the blessings of the Lord to be upon you in my prayers, that his grace might fill each of your hearts, that you truly may be enriched in greater bounds until the Lord shall come, so that you may be so enriched in him that you in this church, as pastor and as members of the body of Christ, will come behind in no gift of God, waiting for the coming of the Lord. He says, who also shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest joy of God's people in this present age is not the hope only of Christ's coming, but is the hope of being enriched in the way of Christian living, a closer walk with the Lord, more of God's grace in your heart. And it is wonderful and glorious to live in Christ day by day in this present world, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Our thoughts today have to do with the glorious appearing of Jesus. When we talk about Jesus, we're speaking of Jesus of Nazareth, this humble individual who was born in a manger, who grew to manhood, and who was nailed to a cruel cross in shame and disgrace for you and me, that he might redeem us unto God, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, praise be to his name. But he that died for us was raised from the dead by the glory of the living God. And we saw him one day by faith standing outside of the city of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, and we saw him as he was taken away. This Jesus that was taken away, he is coming again. The glorious tidings, the good news is that he is coming again. As we think this morning for a few moments, we would like to go back to the time when Jesus took the three disciples with him up upon the Mount of Transfiguration. On that day long ago, we see three mortal men along with the Lord Jesus, who still is mortal and dying because he has not yet died for our sins. We see them as they travel up the high mountain peak. He took them up into a high mountain apart. He had told them previously that there would be some standing here who should not taste of death till they had seen the kingdom of God come in power. And as we visit with these by faith and through the word of truth this morning, we come to the Mount of Transfiguration. And the scriptures tell us in Matthew 17 and 2 that his face was transfigured before them and did shine as the sun, and that his raiment was white as the light. And there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. So we find that Christ here on this mountain with the three disciples, they were given a preview of coming glory. And as he was transfigured before them, his face began to shine as the sun. These three mortal men were witnesses of these things, and they heard a voice from heaven speaking. They heard the Almighty speak, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the God that created this universe, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he told them, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I tell you that the thrill and the joy of such glory is beyond the words of mortal tongue to tell you of the stupendous glory and the thrill and the excitement of these disciples as they were there upon the mount. What a joy it must have been, a thrilling experience that lasted all the days of their lives, beholding the face of Jesus shining as the sun there upon that mountaintop, feeling the nearness and the reality of a coming Lord in coming glory as King of a coming kingdom. As they saw his raiment white as light, as they saw Moses and Elias appear unto him there and talk with him. You say, well, I thought Moses was dead. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that he was dead and that he was buried. But the Lord Jesus told these disciples when they came down from the mount, he said, see that thou tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Brethren, this was a vision, but what a vision it was. Oh, the thrill of such a vision of this, the glory of it. It changed these men's lives. It changed their lives so much that some of them were killed for the cause of the gospel, for the name of Christ. And they lived gallantly, they lived boldly, and it is no wonder that on the day of Pentecost that the Apostle Peter stood up and preached with so much power sent from heaven, because he had had a vision, a preview of this glory that men someday will behold. We think of our Lord Jesus Christ, his face shining as the sun, his raiment white as light, Moses and Elias standing there. Truly the whole mount was covered with the glory of glories. And how we long for a foretaste of these things in our hearts by faith in the Word of God. Brethren, one day in the near future, this old world that's been in sorrow and trouble so long, in wars and perplexities, is going to experience the same thing that these apostles experienced long ago. We find that Daniel the prophet long ago had a vision in the night. In the night time, as he was sleeping upon his bed, he had a vision. I think perhaps all of the glory of the Lord must have filled the room as he had this vision. All that we today might have visions. The scriptures tell us that in the last days it shall come to pass that God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men's going to see visions, he said. And as we think about it, brethren, it is time that we try to enrich our lives by dedication of prayer to God, by seeking God in a closer walk, and by asking for visions and revelations as we see the things of the world as they're happening and the nearness of the coming of the Lord. How we should seek visions and revelations from God as our own personal experiences, that we may be enriched in the things of God. But Daniel had this vision. He said, I saw in the night visions. What did he see? He saw a glorious sight. No doubt the whole bed that he slept upon was filled with glory. No doubt his heart was lifted up beyond the realm of mortal men. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. 500 years before Jesus was taken up in a cloud, of the prophet Daniel had a vision of Christ in a cloud. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. He saw one that looked like a man, a son of man, in a cloud. He said, he saw him brought unto the Ancient of Days, he says, and they brought him near before him. I want you to notice here that what Daniel saw was truth. And it is the glorious truth that guides us along our pathway today. Because he saw this Son of Man brought before the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is the living Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one, the true and living God. And he said there was given him a kingdom and dominion that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is of an everlasting kingdom, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and it'll not pass away. I want you to think about this vision that Daniel saw. He saw with a thrill one like the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, moving before the Almighty God. And he saw this one given this glorious kingdom. And what a thrill it must have been. What a power must have filled his life. And this great prophecy also can be applied to his receiving the kingdom, and as he comes in clouds of heaven. This Jesus that was crucified, brethren, long ago, this Jesus who was buried, and this Jesus whom God raised from the dead, Daniel saw him before time by vision, riding the clouds of heaven to the presence of God. He saw this one riding the clouds of heaven and coming in power and glory. I say to you today, these are things that God has showed to prophets in days gone by. We find that Jesus Christ our Lord hung and died on the cross, that he was buried, and that God in great power one golden morning raised him from the dead, that he should die no more. We find this Jesus and his disciples, as he talks with them, as they climb the mountain out to the Mount of Olives, and as he stands there talking with them. And this Jesus that has been crucified with the scars in his hand, this same Jesus that was born in the manger, this same Jesus who's been made alive, standing here speaking with his disciples. In Acts 1 and 9, we hear of the words of the disciples as they give an account of what happened out there that day. Oh, the joy of having been present and witnessing this great event. For the Bible tells us, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. My brethren, I tell you, it would have been worth everything in the world to have been there. And as they were talking, slowly looking at him, he began to rise. The law of gravity seemed to have disappeared, and Jesus began so majestically and sweetly to go up and to be taken up in a cloud to go into the presence of God in our behalf, for you and me, as a mediator, as a high priest, that he might present his blood to God, that we might be saved, hallelujah, that we might be redeemed from sin, glory to his name. And as he began to go up, the disciples looked, and as they looked, as he was taken up into a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight, behold, two men in white apparel stood by them and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, well, hallelujah. I'm happy this morning that I can preach to you the same Jesus that was born in the manger, the same Jesus that was nailed to the cross, the same Jesus that God raised from the dead, the same Jesus that went up so sweetly into heaven. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. These apostles saw the glory of his being taken away. But if you and I are in the Lord, I want to tell you we're going to behold the glory of his return. For Jesus is coming again. Praise the Lord, and glory to his name, because this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Brethren, this is going to be an event that's going to be the greatest spectacular that's ever been in the history of all ages, when Jesus shall come again, when Jesus shall sit upon the throne of his father David and reign over the house of Jacob forever. The glory of his appearing will be so tremendous that we cannot tell you about it today. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. I want you to know this morning that if I was to use every word in the vocabulary that is descriptive of wonder and beauty, I couldn't describe to you the glory of seeing Jesus, this same Jesus, the one who died, coming again in power and glory. As we think about it for a little while, we hear the words of Jesus himself over in Revelations 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. Now, this didn't say they'd all see him coming in the clouds when he come, but he's going to come in clouds, and after he gets here, every eye shall see him. Some of them may sleep 1,000 years and then be awakened, but after Jesus has come, sometime or other, before the perfect age, every eye is going to see the real Son of God, the real Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told in Romans the 14th chapter that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. I want you to think about it. This doesn't mean they'll confess to salvation, but every individual that's ever lived, every eye that's ever lived is going to behold Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the crucified Lord, in his glory. They're going to bow before him. And as we think about this, he says, they also which pierced him. Someone said, well, how will they that pierced him see him? I want to tell you, Jesus prayed for those that pierced him, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that the power of his prayer could forgive those people that put him to death, because the Bible said he prayed and was heard. I want you to think about this. Jesus died for these people that put him to death, and he loved them, and he asked the Father to forgive them. And where will they be on that day when the Lord comes? That's not for me to say, but I want to tell you something sure and certain. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, all the love that he had reached out and encircled those high priests and those people who were the children of Abraham. He reached out there in love for them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as we think about his glorious appearing and his coming again, we find further that he says over in Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 64th verse, Jesus talking with the high priest said, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He told this high priest, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. You're going to see this Jesus sitting on the right hand of power. You're going to see him coming in the clouds of heaven with power. Now this is something to think about, to see Christ sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. And we find further in Matthew 24 and 30, he said, Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. My beloved brethren, this is going to be something that we expect to behold. We that love the Lord, see him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What a joyful sight it's going to be. On that day when we see Jesus come, we're going to say, Lo, this is my Lord. I have waited for him. Sorrows and cares are going to vanish away, and all is going to be wrapped up into stupendous joy at the appearing of Jesus, our wonderful Lord. To him be praise and glory. I hope this morning that you are looking. I hope that you are longing, that you are loving to see his appearing. We find that the seventh from Adam, that Enoch in Jude the 14th verse tells us that the seventh from Adam, that he prophesied of this very event. And God appreciated his testimony, and God loved Enoch, and Enoch walked with God because he had this testimony that he pleased God. And what did he preach? He said, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. Enoch, away back yonder, just seven generations from the Garden of Eden, the seventh from Adam, he prophesied of the glorious coming and the glorious appearing of the Lord. And so men from Adam down to our day has looked for the mighty event, the glorious appearing of God's great Son, who gave his life a ransom to save not only the church, but he died not only for our sins, but the sins for the whole world. And the whole world could be saved if they would but believe, if they would but receive, if they would do away with self and let Jesus come into their heart. And today, if you're without Christ, you can let Jesus come into your heart. You can be in that number that will welcome the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and trust today that his grace is in your heart. I hope and trust that you are being enriched by the blessings of God's grace in your life. And I hope and trust that you will let him confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, he said, To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And I'd like to pause there to point out to you that there's something worse than second death as far as I'm concerned. Second death isn't half as bad as some people think that it is. I think the worst thing that could happen to an individual would be to be destroyed from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. To miss the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power throughout the endless ages. To enjoy the blessings of it throughout the endless ages. To miss that would be the worst punishment that a man could ever have. Because throughout the endless ages, the church and those that are saved and those that inherit the glory of God's kingdom are going to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Isn't it going to be something, my brethren, to be clothed with immortality and to be in the presence of the blessed Lord Jesus that died for us, and to behold his face shining like the sun, and his raiment white as the light? And the scripture says, Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their father. Oh, I have longed for the day when I can see grandfather and grandmother and my dad sleeping out on the hillside and loved ones
that you have out here, my brethren, that are buried in the bowels of Mother Earth this morning. But isn't it going to be glorious in the presence of the Lord to see their faces shining with the glory of the resurrected Christ, of God's Son in all of His power that He's coming with, and all the glory that He's coming with to cover His bride with the power and the glory of God, that they may eternally live and reign with Him. Oh, I wouldn't want to miss it for anything in the world. And I can be assured that I'll have a place in His glory when He comes, if I but let Him come into my heart this morning. If I only keep Him there, if I walk with Him day by day, if my life is completely consecrated in Him. I ask you today, let Jesus come into your heart. Be ready for that day. He said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be therefore ready, He said. So today I hope and trust that each of you are ready. He said further in this first chapter of Thessalonians, said, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and admired in all them that believe. Do you know that when Jesus comes, that He's going to be glorified in His saints? The saints are going to sing and shout His praises. The heavens will ring with the joys of His praises. They're going to glorify this blessed and holy one who hung on a cruel cross in shame with a crown of thorns on His head. This day He's coming in power and glory, and there's going to be glory instead of a crown of thorns, a halo of glory of Almighty God around His very head. And my brethren, we're going to share in that glory, and we're going to glorify Him as we come and as we meet Him. And He says that they'll be admired. How long will it take us to admire the wonderfulness and the beauty of this resurrected holy being, this sweet individual who loved us so much that He died for us to save us? How long will it take us to admire Him? Well, I want to tell you, it'll take the endless ages to admire the wonderfulness of Jesus and the redemption that He's obtained for us. It's no wonder we're going to sing a new song. Immortal tongues will raise in celestial glory to the praise of the Lamb that was slain. Forevermore we will admire Him. Well, you say, it looks like we get tired of admiring Him. I want to tell you that I married my wife a long time ago, and the very first day that we were married, I admired her, and I still admire. And the admiration grows stronger as we live together in this present world. How much greater will admiration be in the glorious kingdom of the Lord when the Lord has come in this power and glory? You can share in this glory. My brethren, just think of the glory of the Lord in all of its beauty shining all around you. And you can walk in it, and you can feel it all about you, and you can live in it forevermore without any sorrow, pain, or heartache, or any burden. I tell you, man has told of many things, but this sounds greater than a fairy tale. It is greater than anything that you can imagine, any fairy tale, because it is the truth. It is something that's really going to happen. This morning, my brethren, the Bible tells us in Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear in glory. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That is, if you are a child of God, if you're in Christ, when Christ comes in His power and glory, when He appears in this glory, if you belong to the Lord, He said, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Oh, happy day when we can appear with Jesus in glory. We'll be like Moses and Elias, talking with Jesus in the glory of God. Celestial glory shining out. If I were to try to describe it to you, I perhaps would have to take every wind that's ever swept across this old mortal world, across the valleys and hills, and put it all together in one great big compact amount of force. And then I would have to take every rainbow that ever arced out across the heavens in all of its splendor and all of its color, put it all together and wrap it up together with the wind. And never streak of lightning that ever flashed across the sky to put it in one stupendous flash of lightning. And then every thunder bolt that every thunder tone that ever rolled across the earth to put it all together and combine them all as ingredients into one great movement. And then every organ that ever sounded and every chord and every tone that ever touched the heart to put them all together in one stupendous, glorious anthem to the praise and the glory of the Lord. And every flower that ever bloomed on the mountain to put them all together as one great bouquet. I want to tell you to put them all together, all into one, my brethren. Couldn't compare with one great splatter against the walls of the universe the glorious appearing of Jesus of Nazareth, the lowly Nazarene who's coming in power and glory one of these days. And as He comes to raise the church, from the sleep of the dead to catch him up to meet him in the air. It's going to be a glorious event, and mortal men like you and me can share in this glory, caught up instantaneously to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I pray to God this day that each of you will be accounted worthy for an inheritance within this glory when he comes. If you're without Christ this morning, I beseech you, give your heart to him today.